Welcome to this Red Meat and Wool Growth Program podcast, brought to you by the Department of Primary Industries and Regions, Livestock SA and Animal Health Australia.
Good on-farm biosecurity is becoming increasingly important to prevent not only the introduction of endemic diseases, pests and weeds, but also to protect farming businesses from the threat of exotic animal diseases like foot and mouth. A person who's passionate about the importance of biosecurity is Nathan Scott, a consultant with Achieve Ag Solutions based in Inverleigh in Victoria. Nathan's got a background in prime lamb production and he works with producers to increase conception rates, improve lamb survival, lift growth rates and hone overall management. Nathan, thanks for joining me in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Nathan, why have you got such a passionate interest in biosecurity, or should anyone involved in primary production have an interest in biosecurity?
Absolutely everyone should have an interest in biosecurity. I think it's one of the topics that isn't spoken about enough, and mainly I think because everyone views it as being a government issue, and it's not a government issue. It's an everyone in agriculture issue, and it's something that we need to be talking about more across the industry.
Well, maybe I should take a step back, Nathan. I mean, how do you define biosecurity?
In all honesty, I think biosecurity is the wrong word when we're talking to everyone across the industry, because biosecurity does have very much a government connotation. Really, it's about business security. It's our way of being able to safeguard our businesses. So if we get an exotic disease outbreak, the impacts across all of agriculture, particularly in the livestock sector, are massive. And so it's in everyone's interest to be thinking about it from their own business security, just how we can play our role to try and reduce the impacts of a exotic disease outbreak.
I like your definition, and you're trying to bring it back to actually what it really means to be as a primary producer. But that term biosecurity, though, do you think it's gained a bit more resonance over the last 18 months because of this horrible pandemic, COVID, that we've got going across the world at the moment?
Absolutely. And it is our perfect example of how a biosecurity system works, what contact tracing is all about. If we have a disease outbreak in livestock, the process is exactly the same. It's all about contact tracing. It's all about being able to know what's been where across the country and being able to lock things down so that we can control whatever the outbreak is. So yes, COVID is a perfect example of what we're talking about. Firstly, keep it out. Secondly, if it does get in, we need to be able to find it and find it quickly.
Okay, well, let's take an example maybe to illustrate this. Could you explain what producers might expect if we were to experience an exotic or an emergency animal disease like, you know, heaven forbid, foot and mouth?
Yeah, and foot and mouth disease is the best example because on one hand, it's the scariest, but also it's the one that we're probably the most likely to end up with. There's a long list of potential diseases that could cause us problems, but certainly foot and mouth disease is the most likely. And for everyone that we speak to, all the experts, they all say it's not if we get it, but when we get it. And so that's why it's so incredibly important that we're prepared for it. And our best example is the UK outbreak in 2001. And to give people an idea of that don't know a lot about foot and mouth disease, one of the key ways that it is spread is if it gets into pigs, which is often through food scraps or swill feeding, pigs can produce a plume of the virus that can actually carry on the winds over quite a distance. And once that gets into sheep and cattle, then it can spread quite quickly, and particularly in sheep, because sheep don't obviously show any symptoms. So sheep can be wandering around infected with foot and mouth disease and we won't know anything about it. And that's exactly what happened in the UK in 2001. Basically, 16 sheep were infected as a result of some swill feeding to pigs, which then spread it to the 16 sheep. They went into a sale yards and were sold and spread all over the country. And because of the contact with other sheep in that sale yard environment, that resulted in 10,000 vets, soldiers and field staff trying to lock down a foot and mouth disease outbreak. So if you just think about the logistics of us trying to find 10,000 people that can work to help try and contain an outbreak, that alone is a scary enough figure. But the real scary part for me is the fact that 16 sheep turned into over 6 million animals being slaughtered is part of that control program. So 4.2 million were slaughtered as actually controlling the disease. And then there was another 2.3 million that were slaughtered for welfare purposes. And I suppose that's the bit that we don't talk about a lot is if we get a foot and mouth disease outbreak or any exotic disease outbreak, we go into a national standstill. So in other words, everyone's livestock movements stop immediately. So it doesn't matter how ready your lambs are to be sold or your calves or whatever it is that you might be ready to sell, everything stops. And so there is no market. So in actual fact, if you look at that UK outbreak, there was no price recorded for cattle or sheep from March 2001 until January 2002. So even if you're a stock agent and you're thinking, this doesn't have a big impact on me, it absolutely does. You've got nothing to sell.
Nathan, they're horrendous figures, and you know that would be almost unrecoverable for a lot of livestock producers. Maybe looking at this in terms of business continuity then, why is good biosecurity on farm important for business continuity?
Well, one of the simple examples is if we have an outbreak that happens in a particular location and you happen to be within the control zone of that, it doesn't matter how good your genetics are. Part of the control program is they will come onto the farm and they will slaughter all the livestock. So if you are particularly stud stock, or if you've spent a long time breeding a particular genetic line that you're really happy with, you're making all the genetic gains you've been working on for the last however many years, that can evaporate overnight. So from a continuity point of view there, it's devastating for people. And just generally, so obviously biosecurity isn't all about exotic diseases. It can be things like foot rot, lice, yonies. There's a whole bunch of diseases when it comes to livestock that are potentially impacting your business and your ongoing ability to sell livestock into the various markets that you want to. So biosecurity in general is all about safeguarding your business and your ability to trade in the way that you want to.
Nathan, we've had electronic identification in cattle for quite a while, but EID in sheep has been a hot topic across the sheep industry lately, with a lot of pressure coming from industry to enhance traceability. What are your thoughts on EID's role in traceability?
I'm an advocate of EID simply because it takes a lot of the human element away from the tracing of animals. Now, if you look at from a COVID example point of view, it's basically the difference between proper use of QR codes every time you go into a business or a venue versus just simply having to sit down and ask someone where they've been. And in that contact tracing, potentially, that's the example of EID, where it's recorded automatically, versus having to actually go back through a paper-based system and try and unscramble the egg. Now, a paper-based system, if it was used 100% effectively, can be still quite effective. The problem is we know that the use of NVDs is not good and the accuracy of the data that's recorded on them is not great. And so every time the systems get tested, we find that there is these inaccuracies. And some of that simply sits at the farmer's feet. Often, and I've been guilty of this myself when I was managing, the NVD at times was the piece of paper I had to make sure I filled out before sheep went on the truck. And it's a lot more important than that. It's critical to us being able to maintain our markets. And so whatever our traceability system is, it needs to work fast. If you look at what the projected potential impacts of a foot and mouth disease outbreak is, they're talking up to $50 billion. And only a few hundred million of that are actually in controlling the disease. Most of the rest of it comes from market access. So it's about being able to track down the outbreak, control it, eradicate it, and then try and reopen our markets as quickly as we possibly can. And the only way we can do that is prove we haven't got it and prove that we've got good traceability. So that's the bit that's really critical. Out of the $50 billion, most of that's coming out of farmers' pockets and stock agents' pockets, because we won't get the value for the livestock when we lose that market access. So whichever system it is, and in my view, EID gives us that really immediate traceability, the fact that any time an animal shows up in a sale yard, it's automatically recorded. It doesn't rely on someone telling you where they've been. It tells you where they've been automatically.
You make a really good distinction there about relying on paper-based systems. And we've seen it also in COVID. Paper-based systems in cafes or whatever the case may be, let's say there is an outbreak and the cafe's shut for a day or two, the traceability system basically stops in that particular patch until they can find the owner, whereas EID is already in the system.
Yep, and so it's all about that speed to trace. That's ultimately, our whole traceability system is about the speed and accuracy of the tracing. And so the more of that can be automated, the easier that can be. Now, the simple argument that people will have is, what about property to property transfers? And they are a problem. There's no doubt that people forget to transfer sheep when they buy them from the neighbour, but often those are the ones that are the most easily retraced through a manual system. So if they arrive and there's a glitch in the system where these sheep haven't appeared somewhere, they can retrace those steps really quickly. It's when they go into a sale yards, it's when they go into an abattoir that the issue is obviously much greater because of the potential contact with thousands of sheep. And one of the things that has come out of some of the testing that they've done here, in that UK outbreak, the surprise was that those 16 sheep came in contact with a number of other sheep who were then taken to other sale yards around the country immediately. Now, we've always sort of been of the view that that doesn't really happen here in Australia. We don't send sheep straight from one sale yards to another, except that we do, and cattle. And that's because they're often used as depots. So trucking companies will send livestock from one, they'll be picking up from one sale yard, they'll send them to another so that they can put together a load to go to a processor. And so actually we are having that exact same scenario where we've got a lot of livestock having contact with a lot of other livestock over a number of locations. And that's why we need to be able to retrace those steps as quickly as we can.
Nathan, what do you reckon the top three actions that producers can either stop doing, start doing, or change to improve biosecurity?
If we're talking exotic disease, for me, the number one thing is to make sure that they understand what their requirements are. So that's being accurate in filling out NVDs. It's making sure that whatever the tracing system is for their state, making sure that they are adhering to that as closely as they possibly can. And then if we step outside of that and we go to just the broader biosecurity, a lot of it is making sure that you have control over what livestock are coming and going from your farm. So the simple one, if we're talking lice, yonis, foot rot, it's looking at double fencing. It can be making sure that we've got good quarantining processes for any animals coming onto the property. It's just making sure that there is actually a lot of thought going into it and a plan in place to try and minimise the risks for your business.
Nathan, where can listeners find out more information or get support?
So certainly the local state organisations are a good place to start. So whether that's PIRSA or any of the other livestock industry bodies. Also, there's a wealth of information available on the web, whether that's through CSIRO, if you're wanting to know more about some of the exotic diseases, or any of the industry bodies, AWI, MLA. There's plenty of information available to people. The first and foremost, I would say, make sure that you've actually gone through and thought about for your own business what you need to do from a biosecurity point of view. And if you can identify there are areas you don't know enough, then seek help. There's plenty of people, whether it's private consultants, government representatives, or the wider industry. There is actually a lot of help available to you.
Nathan, you speak about this very passionately and you've given some great insights and a lot to actually think about. Nathan Scott, thanks for joining me in the PIRSA studio today.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me.
To find out more information or get support in implementing better biosecurity within your business, contact your local animal health advisor from the Department of Primary Industries and Regions or the South Australian Livestock Biosecurity Extension Team through the Livestock SA Office. The Red Meat and Wool Growth Program is an initiative of the Government of South Australia and supported by Meat and Livestock Australia, SA Sheep and Cattle Industry Funds and Sheep Connect SA.